The title of today's sermon is America's Downfall, and I'd like to begin in Luke chapter 21. Let me ask you a question, brethren. Do you have your finger on the pulse of the nation? Do you know what the state of our nation is? Not physically, not financially, but spiritually. What is the pulse of our nation? Another question we should ask ourselves is, are we spiritually wide awake? And I ask that because we're coming into a time of unprecedented strife and division for our nation. I fear that our nation is in for a real roller coaster ride, even beginning over the next few months. Brethren, we could be in for riots, murder, and burning like never before, at least since the Civil War, I would suppose. Our task is to view the details of what is taking place through a spiritual lens, not what you see in the newspaper or on the news, but a spiritual lens that only God's people are able to utilize. Luke 21 and verse 34. We are sternly warned by God. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. So God's warning us that that day, that end time day, that last day, what we just refer to as the end times, God says, don't let those days come upon you being unaware of what's happening, especially in a spiritual context. Verse 35, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's pretty widespread, brethren. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be like a snare, like a bird being caught in a trap. And I will add, this is from my perspective, those who attend church with us, who are not paying attention, that day may come upon them as a snare. I hope not us, brethren. Verse 36, you, God speaking to us, brethren, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's our desire. If you are praying, if you are watching, we're going to be talking about watching a lot today. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's understand this, that over the entire earth, it is only God's true people who will understand what is going on. The world is going to be totally confused. But that day will not come upon God's people unawares. It's made very, very clear to us. God tells us that we will not be caught unawares. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Notice how God puts it. I'm breaking into the context here where God is talking about people being caught unawares. But he says here in verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Nobody's going to break in on us and surprise us if we're saying our prayers, if we're staying close to God, if we're watching what's going on. God puts a whole lot on us to have our spiritual eyes open. That's what Jesus expects of us, to be astute, pay attention with our spiritual eyes wide open. And never forget that our trust is in God and in His will. No matter what great people might do or might promise, our trust is in God and His will. We pray diligently, Thy will be done. And it always is. Nothing is done that God does not allow, that God does not will. Our trust is never to be in man, because man will lead you astray. Every time, we can't put our faith in sinful man. Now, we are in unprecedented times, and I would recommend that we would do well to review the Russian Revolution of 1917. Things happened there that just completely overturned the way the nation was going in 1917. There was a great reset. I would like for you also to review your history of the French Revolution that redefined the nature of political power, and do that just to see what man is capable of when civil law and order break down. You don't know what's going to be left over. Maybe just a bunch of ash. Total destruction. Let's understand God is the one who chooses who rules. We're told that clearly. Between you and me, brethren, I'm hoping and praying that God will allow us 4 more years to serve Him, that the airways are open, that the internet is open, that we can write freely, speak freely of God's way, and be able to serve one another. In Daniel 4 and verse 17, God tells us that it is He, the Most High God, who rules in the kingdom of men. And He gives it to whomsoever He wills, whomsoever He desires. And He sets up over the kingdom of men the basest of men. God sets up over the kingdom of men the lowest, the bottommost. We would say the bottom of the barrel sometimes of men. God does that sometimes. God doesn't think the way we do. God does not choose the way man would choose. You remember the story of Samson and Delilah from the book of Judges. Interestingly, mighty Samson, powerful Samson, was the last judge of ancient Israel. Can you imagine that? He was the last one. Someday we will have the last president of these United States, and then everything's going to fall apart. You might want to review the story and compare Samson to what we find today. It's in the book of Judges, chapters 13 to chapter 16. But I'll remind you of how it all ends. You might say, Samson brought the house down. That's in Judges 16 and verse 30. Now the point I want to make about Samson, brethren, is God set him up. God is the one who put Samson in charge. God made Samson a judge. But Samson was no paragon of virtue. Yet God gave Israel leaders that He inspired to deliver Israel from the terrible circumstances they were in. God gave Israel leaders that He inspired in order to deliver Israel from the terrible circumstances they found themselves. Here's another example of a base man ruling the kingdom of men. The people of Israel chose King Saul. God acquiesced. He said, this isn't the way to do it. This isn't my desire. You're asking for it. I'll let you have them. They needed to make their mistakes. Israel needed to go the way that Israel went. Just like in that day, they weren't a godly people. America is not a godly people. We've seen in the case of King Saul how it didn't work out so well. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The church of God is coming under great pressure from many sides these days. Not the least of which is our ability to use the airways, the internet, so forth, as I mentioned. For example, ministers in Canada and in the United Kingdom, over in England, they literally face jail time for quoting certain scriptures directly from the Bible. It's considered to be hate speech, reading right out of the Bible. Hate speech, it is said, by those who are calling the shots. And who can pull the plug on the airways, the internet, and so forth. Men of faith are being silenced on Twitter and Facebook, those various platforms. So, based on that, brethren, I am sure that the evil spirit of iniquity is rearing its ugly head more and more. Things are getting worse. They are not getting better. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now restrains will hold back until he's taken out of the way. Genesis 18. Brethren, there are evil forces at work in our nation and around the world. That's the way it's going to be. We know that Satan is unleashed in the end time, and it is going to be a terrible time. In fact, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Perhaps in God's timetable, it is time for America's downfall. That's the title that we're speaking about today, America's downfall. I'm reminded of when Abraham interceded for Sodom, for those terrible people in Sodom. You know their sin. You know their society. You know their culture. Genesis 18 and verse 26. Just breaking into this debate, this discussion that Abraham is having with the Lord God. And here's how God answered Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Can you imagine that? If there's 50 just people, God would have not sent fire and brimstone down on ancient Sodom. But we know Abraham negotiated and negotiated, and there were not enough righteous people for God to save the place. How many righteous people have to be in America for America to be saved when all the curses are poured out? We're going to be talking about the blessings and the cursings today as they apply to America specifically. When is God going to pull the plug on the United States of America? We know that He will. Will it be when there are none righteous? I think there'll be a righteous remnant. But how many is that? 10% of America? More? Less? Already, the majority of our United States representatives in the Congress vote for abortion. That's like telling God, out of the way, God. We're going to do it our way. We don't need you. Don't want you. That's the majority of our representatives that we, the voting people of America, you and I don't vote, but I'm talking about all the people who do vote, represent America, and these men represent America, and they vote against God. God tells us in the scriptures that killing the innocent newborns never entered His mind because it's so heinous. How can a mother and a father kill the baby? Have you ever held a newborn baby? Have you ever smelt their scalp, breathed their breath, listened to their coos? How can this nation have come to the point where it kills babies? And in some demographics, more than half of the babies are killed. They're aborted. God hates that. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Brethren, we are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. And we're supposed to be non-political, apolitical, not involving ourselves in political matters or going to war. But we do pray for the president, whoever he is, or if some have their way, whoever she is. We're told, Paul wrote this to Timothy, giving him some directions. Applies to us. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2. For kings, or we would say for our president, and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Yes, we need a leader that looks to God, follows God, walks in righteousness, that we might have a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, I understand that our leaders are not converted. They haven't been given God's Spirit by God. And yet, as we nominally think of men, we would rather have men who invoke God's name to the best of their ability, keep God's law. They don't know the Sabbath. Ancient Israel went into captivity because of their idolatry. That's not putting God first in everything. And their Sabbath breaking, where you learn to worship and praise God. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. Yes, Jesus Christ knows that these men aren't converted. None of them, no president that we've ever had over America has been converted. We've never had one. And yet God has worked through some of them, sometimes mightily, to save our nations in world wars, for example. The fact that churches today are receiving such unfavorable attention in the COVID epidemic is of concern to me. The churches receive unfavorable attention from our leaders. Oh, they'll open up the liquor stores. They'll open up the abortion clinics. They'll do a lot of things, but churches are at the bottom of the totem pole. I do believe it shows the true colors of certain leaders. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 24. Brethren, do we watch? Do we discern as Jesus taught us to do? Are we discerning the times that we're in? Are we looking around and asking ourselves, who is trying to walk in the way of the Lord to the best of his ability? Vice President Pence is fond of quoting Chronicles, where it says, if those people who are called by my name would pray, repent. I would heal their land. I've heard him say it maybe 10 or 12 times. And it's true. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Jesus Christ says, watch therefore. I add the word discern. It's not just watching TV. It means discern what's going on all around us, what people are doing, what they're saying, where this nation is headed. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Verse 43. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, what hour of the night he would show up, what would he have done? He would have watched and would have not allowed his house to be broken up. That's the example that Jesus Christ gives us. We don't want to be caught unawares in this end time. Keep your spiritual eyes open, brethren, and watch what is going on. God does not expect us to be mere spectators, however, and witnesses of what's taking place right now in front of us. We can't sit back with our nose in the air and say, we're righteous, we're in the church of God, we're just watching the world go to hell in a handbasket, as they would say. No, we have to discern and warn and be ready spiritually, ourselves, our families. Luke 12 and verse 56. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky. You can look outside in the morning and go, it's going to be a rainy day. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? Look at what our leaders are saying. Look at what our leaders are doing. Look at what our leaders are proposing. Discern where we are, brethren. I believe that time is short. Jesus Christ once said, I must work the works of Him, God the Father, that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. I'm reading John 9 and verse 4. Jesus Christ says, the night comes when no man can work. Right now we have the freedom and the ability and the will and the means to preach the gospel to the world. God has given it to so many of His ministers of Jesus Christ to reach out in a broad way. But the night comes when no man can work. We are going to be shut down. In a lot of places, we're being shut down already. A lot of platforms will not handle internet service for those who have a certain context. And religious context is at the top of the list of those who are being discontinued. And they have the power, to use that phrase again, to pull the plug on us. And they do, and they have. So far, we've been able to get back up and running, argue a little bit, wait a little bit, get it going again. The world is clamping down on our ability to continue to be able to preach the gospel. I'm praying, brethren, that God gives us 4 more years. I'm not asking for another lifetime. Maybe 4 more years. It's God's will. He can pick the number, 2, 4, 6, 8, whatever He has in mind. He knows. But maybe it's going to come like a thief in the night. You turn on your computer to get a little daily bread, wisdom from God, and there's nothing there, no connection. Oh, you'll be able to get all the things you don't want, but to find sermons, to find articles, to find content, it might not be there. Brethren, I advise as many as you who hear these words, download what you can, save what you can, articles, Bible studies, sermons, the ones that pertain to you at least. Brethren, I must confess, the last 2 weeks have been rather discouraging and depressing with the national media announcing what is tantamount to the end of this age. When the national media proposes godless actions, it means we're close to the end. God's only going to put up with that kind of business for so long. God's the one who's going to eventually pull the plug. Yes, there'll be invasions, there'll be captivity, there'll be deportations. The very life of our republic is at stake right now. It weighs in the balance. Sometimes it hangs on a single vote. We are facing the question of whether or not God will allow us another 4 years to continue in our efforts to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, there are some that are coming to a knowledge of the truth, even now. We pray that God gives them time to mature, come to conversion after repentance. How close are we, brethren, to the total breakdown of society? Sometimes on the nightly news, they'll say it's mostly peaceful, but I see a town burning. I see law enforcement sent packing. Time goes by in a flash. It was 157 years ago this week that President Abraham Lincoln was asked to help dedicate the National Cemetery of Gettysburg. That's in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has been figuring prominently in the news these last couple of weeks. As Abraham Lincoln rhetorically asked, "Can a nation so divided long endure?" It's a very astute question. It was Abraham Lincoln's hope and prayer that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. But God tells us it is going to perish from the earth. When is that going to happen, brethren? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Before Israel entered the promised land, God had shown Moses the things that would befall modern Israel in these very last days. Moses was speaking to us, brethren, the people of modern Israel, when he said, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 29, Moses said, "For I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves." Israel's done that before. They're doing it again. "And turn aside from the way," that's God's way, "from the way which I have commanded you." Notice this clearly, brethren. "And evil will befall you." When? In the latter days. Brethren, that is now. Evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord. He's not proposing that. God revealed to him that that's going to be our end. We are going to become an evil, that's in God's sight, nation, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. We see a lot of it, brethren, all around us. Brethren, do you believe it, that evil's going to befall us in the latter days? I believe it. It's God's word. It's right here in the Bible. It is true. Genesis chapter 22. America has utterly corrupted herself and entered this state of, let's say, dishonesty, depravity, lawlessness. And so here's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves right between the blessings and the cursings which God has prophesied about us. Those are in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. We'll turn to those in just a moment. We're heading over to Genesis 22. Brethren, we do not have to reiterate how, at this moment in history, Americans have received from God Almighty more great physical blessings of freedom, wealth, military power than any other nation on earth has ever enjoyed. I saw President Trump on the news the other day, and I guess he had been briefed by some military people with some top secret stuff. You know, we know that we have airplanes that go faster than the speed of sound and rockets that go into space. But when President Trump was talking about it, he was going, "Wow, the things we have, the power we have, 6 times the speed of sound. You can put it on a spot the size of a golf ball anywhere in the world. We are a powerful nation. No one can touch us." He was excited by the report that he had. Genesis 22 and verse 16. Here's what God says. He's talking to Abraham because Abraham had been asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, the greatest sacrifice anyone has ever been asked to make. It replicates God the Father giving his son, Jesus Christ, for our lives. Genesis 22 and verse 16. God says, "By myself have I sworn, says the Lord. For because you, Abraham, have done this thing and have not withheld your son, Isaac, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you in multiplying. I will multiply your children as the stars of the heaven, billions and billions, and as the sand which is upon the sea. And your children shall possess the gate of his enemies. Great Britain ruled the world. The British Jack flew everywhere. The sun never set on the British flag. And America now has that mantle of power. Genesis 22 and verse 18. And in your children shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. We've been blessed multiple ways. We've been blessed in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Also the seed of Abraham coming to this earth. But also in the tremendous physical blessings that God has given us. Of oil and oceans and rivers and railways and things unimaginable. God promised those to Abraham because Abraham obeyed the voice of God. Then God chose Ephraim and Manasseh to be the recipients of the birthright blessing and the promise that he made to Abraham. God made that promise to Abraham. Read about that in Genesis 48 and 49. Brethren, we would be foolish to say, where is the promise of Christ coming? Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming soon. For since the fathers fell asleep, all the patriarchs have died and they're awaiting the return of Christ. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. We're not to say that, brethren. Things are not the same. Things are not continuing as always before. In fact, it is though all things were beginning to fall down around our ears. Up until now, we've enjoyed the freedom to preach the gospel to the world. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. But now, big tech, media magnates utilizing platforms such as Google, Facebook, Twitter, they're systematically violating every Christian's freedom of speech and the right of our access and distribution of religious content, news, and information. Our most trusted news services have been usurped and utterly corrupted. We know, we understand from the scriptures, Satan has human proxies. They do his bidding. People who will do the will of their father, the devil. Jesus calls Satan their father. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, we're told, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We're talking about demons, powerful demons. Principalities, powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Demons exist. Yes, demons are active. Yes, demons influence human conduct. Against the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's not talking about the dog catchers as much as it's talking about politicians in Washington, D.C. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Brethren, do we believe it? How long will it be before God pulls the plug on us? Let's take a snapshot of America. Step back, if you will. Put your spiritual lenses on. Let's look at America. On one hand, America is divided roughly in half between those who espouse, believe in, look to God, religion, constitution, law and order, liberty and freedom. But then, let's put the focal point on the other hand. There are those who proudly embrace lawlessness, godlessness, crime, open borders, abortion on demand, up to and after parturition, as was recently cheered by the New York lawmakers who passed one of America's strongest protections for those who would murder newly born innocent babies. They cheered. They lit up the Empire State Building. They shouted, hooray, we can now kill our babies and be protected by law. That's two different sets of people, the ones who look to God. Brethren, pick a side. Now, picking a side, let me say this to some. That is no more political than deciding if you would stand with Sodom or with Abraham before God rained down fire and brimstone. Abraham beseeched God, save Sodom. And yet, God made a distinction between Abraham on one hand and the people of Sodom on another. Between the righteous on one hand and those who hated God's way on the other hand. That's not political. That's what we're told to do. Choose. Choose life. Decide where you will stand. Pick God. Pick religion, constitution, law and order, liberty and freedom. Brethren, do not choose the side of lawlessness. Open, blatant lawlessness, godlessness, crime, abortion, commandment breaking. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 3. You'd have to agree, brethren, that America's downfall is coming sooner or later. I pray, like you, that it's later. I don't want America to fall right now. I love America. I think it's beautiful. I think it has tremendous potential. We can preach the gospel to the world. A beautiful place, flowing with resources. Isaiah 3 in verse 9. The show of their countenance does witness against them. Brethren, if we have the spiritual eyes to see, we can see when a politician is proposing something that is ungodly. You can see it in his face. That's what it means. Their countenance does witness against them. God tells us that. That's not political. God says, do it. Look at their face. Listen to their words. They declare their sin as Sodom does. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Yes, it's coming. Evil is coming to them. Verse 10. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. God's choosing sides. Say to the righteous, it'll be well with you. Verse 11. But woe to the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. When is God talking about? He's talking about the latter days. We've never had a woman become the president of the United States. God says they will. Let's read on. Isaiah 3 and verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err. Again, God says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. O my people, they which lead you destroy the way of the path. The way of God is being destroyed. Brethren, we are headed for a most grave constitutional crisis in our country. How will it work out? Will it work for the good or will it work for the bad? It constitutes an existential crisis. We are so close to falling. Do you know what existential means? It means, will we exist tomorrow? Preserving democracy, government of the people, by the people, for the people, depends on our Constitution. If the Supreme Court cannot find its way clear to preserve the Constitution in the most stringent and demanding way, they will be signing their own death warrant, because they will be giving an open door to those who will dilute and stack the court with activist justices. This famous football star, Burgess Owens. He's not in God's church, but he said something very astute last week. I heard him. He said, where there is no God, there is no wisdom. Why is Israel experiencing all this prosperity now? Those of you who have money in the stock market, I don't, but I'll watch it. Kind of tells you about the financial health of a nation or what people expect. It's way up there, close to 30,000. The answer to why we're experiencing all this prosperity is in God's hands. God wants to ensure that the tremendous blessings enjoyed by this last generation of Israelites stands out in their minds from the unimaginable curses they experience in the tribulation. It's coming. The tribulation is coming. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Brethren, during the soon coming tribulation, Israelites, including Britain and America, will reflect upon the blessings that have been enjoyed of liberty and prosperity and peace. Why? Because they enjoyed those as a result of God's covenant with Abraham. Isaiah chapter 10. Jacob's trouble is not far off. We are a part of Jacob. There is going to be a day of accounting at the end of the tribulation. 3.5 years of tribulation. At the end, that's Jacob's trouble. It's coming, brethren. You can book it. Then, at the end of the tribulation, then and only then will modern Israel understand that God is faithful to all aspects of his covenant with Abraham, for good or for bad. Isaiah 10, verse 20. It shall come to pass in that day. We're given the time setting, brethren. It's the latter days. Talking about the time setting of Christ is going to return to this earth. That the remnant of Israel, not all of modern Israel, but the remnant, and it's such as have escaped out of the house of Jacob. There will be some that escape the trouble that's coming on America. It's coming on Britain at the same time. It says that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped from the house of Israel will never again depend on him who defeated them. I suppose that's the Chinese and the other Confederate nations of the beast power. But at the end of this verse, will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. So God's telling us, by the time the tribulation's over, people will begin to depend on the Lord, not looking to anybody else as their master. Brethren, do we rely on God? We must. Look at verse 10 again. They will depend upon the Lord. Verse 21, Isaiah 10 and verse 21. God says, but the remnant shall return. Yes, they're going to go back to Israel, start the new world tomorrow. They will be the pioneers in a new land, actually an old land. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Jesus Christ will be ruling from Israel. Verse 22, for though my people Israel be as the sand of the sea, there's a lot of people on earth today that are Israelites, yet I, Warren Zerung, I add the word only a remnant of them shall return. A remnant of them shall return, the scripture says. Why? Because the destruction God has decreed will be his righteous overwhelming flood upon the captive Israelites. God is going to pour it out as he's never poured it out before. Now you know the story, brethren. God withheld his promise of physical blessings and national greatness for 2,520 years. That's an entire different story. Study that in the scriptures. That concept is described in great detail in other writings. But suffice it to say that God spoke of a time of punishment for 2,520 years after the Israelitish captivities. Some of Israel went into captivity, and some of it went again later. The Jews mostly separated with the other tribes, Jews, Levi, Benjamites. Wherein his birthright promises, God's birthright promises would be withheld from the Israelitish people before they would finally be fulfilled and come to fruition. We saw that happen around the 1800s. God opened the gates of heaven and poured out his blessings. First of all on Great Britain and then on America. So brethren, whether it be Joe Biden or Donald Trump, no leader will be able to stand those things God will soon bring against Britain and America. The first and greatest commandment is that we love God with all of our heart and soul and mind. But our nation does not really love God or fear him, because if they did, the sins we see occurring so rampantly in our society would not be taking place. They wouldn't be happening. Let's go over to Leviticus 26. We're going to look at some blessings and cursing in the time that we have left today. I want to go to Leviticus 26, brethren, because there is no speculation here. This is the Word of God. God says this will happen. It's going to happen. Let's begin in Leviticus 26 and verse 3. God says, if you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, and do them, verse 4, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruits. See, it comes down, brethren, to what we eat. Everything else is sort of superfluous, you know, whether you have a car or whether you have a fine suit. But you do need to eat. God's going to give us the rain in due season and the fruit that comes from it. Verse 9, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you. Yeah, he's going to give us a lot of children. Look at America today, 350 million, lots and lots of people. Ancient Israelites would have wondered at the vast number that we have. and establish my covenant with you. So God establishes covenant with us. At the end of verse 9 it says, and establish my covenant with you. Look at what we have, brethren. We have health, wealth, comfort, long life, longer life than the Israelites enjoyed. We have hot and cold running water. We have fresh vegetables in the dead of winter. God has heaped blessings on us. He's given us mastery over our enemies around the entire earth. What blessings God has bestowed upon us. Let's go to verse 14. God says, if we would do that, we get all those blessings. But if we don't do that, let's pick it up there. We're going to go into the bad side of this, the curses. If you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and brethren, I submit to you that America is not living according to God's commandments. There are many commandments that are broken. All of the commandments are broken. Verse 15, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, that represents an awful lot of America today. Don't want anything to do with God. Not in the courts, not in the schools, not in the political halls, Congress and so forth. Verse 16. So God says, this is what I'm going to do. Or as they used to say on Hawaii 5-0, you can book it, Daniel. I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption. That's a kind of cancers. Burning ague that shall consume your eyes, shall cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Oh, we're happy to send boatloads of grain to China today. Verse 17, and I will set my face against you. It doesn't get any scarier than that. God setting his face against us. You shall be slain before your enemies. A great number of Americans are going to die at the hands of their enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you. That's a terrible thought. You shall flee when nobody's even chasing you. That's how scared we're going to be. Verse 18, and if you will not yet for all of this, listen to me, I'm going to punish you 7 times more for your sins. That means worse and worse and worse and worse and worse 7 times. Verse 19, I will break the pride of your power. No more fast jets and missiles. No more defense program. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. There goes the rain in due season. Verse 20, and your strength will be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall your trees of the land yield their fruits. Sounds like some kind of a terrible plague, maybe locust, maybe blight, maybe mildew. Verse 21, if you walk contrary to me and will not listen unto me, I'll bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I'll send wild beasts upon you. I don't know, COVID-19 maybe, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your cattle. And so kids get by pretty good on COVID-19. Maybe there'll be the next plague that we get hit by. It'll hit the children even harder than it does the old people. I'll destroy your cattle, mad cow disease maybe, and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. Yeah, interstate wide open, no cars out there, no electric cars either. Verse 23, and if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary to me, verse 24, then I'll walk contrary to you. You want to get into fisticuffs with God? I'll walk contrary to you, God says, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. We haven't gotten there, brethren. 2020's been a rough year. 7 times worse? Is that what we want? If we won't repent and give our heart to God? Verse 25, and I'll bring a sword upon you. I thought that was happening in 9/11 when our World Trade Center was falling down and the Pentagon was getting a big hole knocked in it. I'll bring a sword upon you. That's the enemy and his weapons in America. That shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I'll send pestilence among you. You shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. And haul us off in captivity, if you're one of the lucky ones that survives. Verse 29. This is too horrible, brethren. I usually skip this, but I decided to put it in today. You shall eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. That's getting pretty hungry and pretty desperate. Cannibalism within the family. Verse 32, I will bring the land into desolation. That's a horrible thought. Almost picture the dust bowl. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Wow. This great, beautiful, blooming nation in desolation. Verse 33. I'm going to scatter you among the heathen. China, Afghanistan, Mongolia. Where? Scattered among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, chase you over there with enemy troops. And your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Verse 34. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath. We don't practice God's land Sabbaths in agriculture today. As long as it lies desolate and you be in your enemy's land. So we'll be over in, let's say, China, Pakistan maybe. We'll be over there. Even then shall your land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. No tilling going on over here. Don't put your money in John Deere or Alice Chalmers, some of the other big tractor companies. Verse 35, as long as it lies desolate, it'll rest. Because it did not rest in your Sabbath, talking about the land Sabbaths, when you were dwelling there in America. Leviticus 26 and verse 36. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts. Just a weakness, a timidity, a broken spirit in the land of their enemies. That's going to be a horrible place to be. Well, let me tell you, young people, your iPhone's not going to work. Your cell phone's not going to work. Twitter's not going to work. You'd be lucky to get a crumb of bread to eat. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. Scared of their shadow, God says. They shall flee, run, fleeing from a sword. They shall fall when nobody's even chasing them. Verse 40, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, the iniquities of America with their trespasses, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me. Brethren, if you think everything is going great in America, and it doesn't matter who God sets up, that everything is going to be peaches and cream, you don't understand verse 40. God says, confess their iniquities. You think everything's going great? This is not political, brethren. This is the word of God. It's not going great. Verse 41. And that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. If you, your children, or your grandchildren, whoever it might be, end up in one of those God-forsaken places, repent and say, God, I want to return to you with all of my heart. God says, then, verse 42, I'll remember my covenant with Jacob. God's faithful. He will not forget. Also my covenant with Isaac. Also my covenant with Abraham. And I will remember the land. Verse 44. And yet, for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. We have a merciful God. We have a loving God. God is going to restore a small remnant, bring them back, and start the world tomorrow over again. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. God is going to remember a remnant, but there's going to be no America left. No big buildings, no bridges, no manufacturing, no farms. It's going to be wiped like a slate. Let's go over and look at Deuteronomy 28. We'll touch on some. Brethren, understand this. No country has ever been as great as America. And so God says in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, it shall come to pass if you hearken, if you listen unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Look out your window, brethren. God has done it. We're on high. Nobody can touch us. We're greater than all. How can we fail? How can we fall? How can America possibly fall? God sets us on high. That's what it says. God set thee on high, made us great. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I mean, it's like we can't handle it. They're just being poured out on us. If you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Everything's exploding. I've got so much stuff, I can't even count it. Verse 13. And the Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. That's us, brethren. Everybody uses the dollar. It's the world's currency. Not for long. And she'll make you be above, and you shall not be beneath, if that you shall hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. Drop down to verse 15 where they have that ugly word. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses, we're talking about the blessings and the curses. Now he's going to tell us, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Verse 16, curse shall you be in the city, curse shall you be in the field. And go on down the list, 18, curse shall be the fruit of your body, your flock of your animals and your sheep. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, rebuke in everything that you set your hand to do. You know, stack a brick on a brick, boop, gonna fall over. Until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doing. Brethren, it's not political. God says, because of the wickedness of our doing. You look at Washington, D.C., you don't see any wickedness. You don't see a deep state. You don't see a swamp. You don't see people who have sold out, whereby you have forsaken me. Is there a righteous man in Washington, D.C., brethren? Deuteronomy 28 and verse 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto you until he has consumed you off the land where you go to possess it. The Lord shall smite you with consumption. It's a terrible thing to go to the doctor and he says, what you have is incurable, sir, ma'am. Can't do anything about it. You've got X days, X months to live. He shall smite you with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and with the sword and the blasting and the mildew. What a rotten place. And they shall pursue you until you perish. Hang out the vacancy sign in America. Verse 27. The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt, with hemorrhoids, with scab, with itch. Can't sleep at night. Can't be healed. Verse 28. The Lord shall smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Our young people are so beautiful. They have so much ahead of them. This is what God says. Verse 32, your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people. That sounds so nice. Sounds like Christmas. Let me give you this gift. Brethren, it's talking about slavery. Your children be given to another people. They won't even be able to speak the language, but they'll understand the whip, the bullwhip across their back. And your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. Where are my children? What's happening to them? Will they survive? God, let them live over into the millennium. There shall be no might in your hand. Can't do a thing about it. That's a helpless feeling. Verse 33. The fruit of your land and all your labor, a nation which you know not, shall eat it up. And you shall be only oppressed and crushed away. Verse 35. The Lord shall smite you in the knees, can't walk that way, and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. It's a mess. Verse 41, you shall beget sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them. Why? They're gone. They're gone into captivity. No forwarding address. Be sure of that. Are we seeing this, brethren? Verse 43, the stranger that is within you shall get up above you, very high, and you shall come down very low. I find it uncomfortable when I find radical, militant, Islamic peoples taking over, being sent to Congress, being sent into positions of leadership. God says, they're going to get up real powerful. I hadn't seen that yet. They're just starting to get up powerful. And we know, if you search your heart, where their heart lies, who they are loyal to. Where are their loyalties? Verse 44, he shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, you shall be the tail. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you're totally destroyed because you didn't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. Verse 46, they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder and upon your children forever. America's gone, brethren. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. We should be most happy, because we're most blessed. And look at the divided nature, the riots, the Antifa, the killing, the maiming, the burning, the hate. Where does that come from? Who are those people? Who do they answer to? Verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against you from afar, swift as an eagle. You don't understand their language. A nation of fierce countenance. God knows who it is. They're in the waiting right now. Read along with me, brethren. Let's pick it up here in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 51. We'll be closing in just 3 or 4 minutes. He shall eat the fruit of your cattle, speaking about our enemy, the fruit of your land, until you're destroyed, yes, starved to death, kicked out of the way, which also shall not leave you. They're not going to leave you any corn, any flour, any wine, any oil, no soda pop, no ice cream, no food, no increase of your animals, your flocks, chickens, your sheep, cows, until he has destroyed you. All gone. Verse 52, and he shall besiege you in all your gates until your high and fenced walls come down. There are people who want to take the walls down right now. Let in the disease, let in the crime, let in the drugs, let in those who would weaken, break, destroy America, wherein you trusted. Yep, got a wall. That's going to take care of us. Brother, this isn't political. This is the word of God. The wall is going to come down throughout all your land. He shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. Verse 53, and you shall eat the fruit of your own body. Brethren, I wanted so much just to leave this out. This is too disgusting to talk about. It is in the Word of God. We've got to read it. We're not going to censor the Word of God. Verse 53, you shall eat your own children, the flesh of your sons, the flesh of your daughters, which the Lord God has given you, in the siege and in the straitness wherein your enemies shall distress you. It's going to be so bad. Starvation is going to be so stark that you look at your children and say, there's a meal. Not only that, God goes on to say, you'll fight for it and you won't share the flesh of your children. It gets really gross. Verse 54, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil towards his brother, towards the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat. Not going to share and share alike. That's my child. I'm going to eat that. None for you, because he has nothing left him in the siege. Not a hot dog or a slice of bread anywhere. And for the straitness, the narrowness wherewith your enemies shall distress you in all your gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, verse 56, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom. Her whole nature and countenance is going to change. Oh, she loved her husband so much, now she can't stand the ground that he walks on. And toward her son and toward her daughter. And toward her young one that comes out from between her feet, the one little beautiful baby that she gave birth to, and towards her children which she shall bear. I'm in verse 57. For she shall eat them for one of all things, secretly in the siege and straitness. Brethren, you want to talk politics? This is politics, isn't it? This is what's coming, the blessings and the cursings. I think we should choose a side. I think we should choose God. I think we should choose law. I think we should choose constitution, faithfulness, honor, honesty, commandments. Verse 58, if you will not observe to do all these words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God. Verse 59, then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful, indescribable, extraordinarily disastrous, and the plagues of your seed, your children, even great plagues of long continuance, and sore sickness and long continuance almost becomes redundant. How horrible it's going to be. Every sickness, every plague, the Lord will bring upon them till they're destroyed. Verse 62, and you shall be left few in number. Oh, so some are going to make it. Whereas you were like the stars of heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Brethren, we're getting there. Verse 63, it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you. It's going to be so bad, so ugly. The sin, the hate, the filthiness. God will say, I am glad to get rid of you. the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from off the land where you go to possess it. We'll close in verse 64, brethren, and you can meditate on these verses and meditate where we are today, what's going on in this land, and realize that we're in a crisis. Yes, it divides people. It divides people at church. It divides people everywhere. But God tells us to choose life, to choose God, to choose His commandments. Verse 64, and the Lord shall scatter you among all people from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. They're not going to know God. They're not going to say, in God we trust. They're not going to say, one nation under God. They will not know God. Brethren, America is at that point right now where it could fall. The title of this sermon has been America's Downfall. Read it in the Bible. That's the truth of God.